afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome back. Cam Holmes with you here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Second day of the work week, second day of May. Breezy day. Boy, I was out for lunch earlier. Really a windy day, cool day, but a dry day. And it looks like things are going to go on the upswing in terms of temperatures. But to find out what's going on weather-wise, we're again joined from weatherology.com by our meteorologist, Ray Miller. And again, Ray, it almost feels like late November than early May, but things are going to get better, aren't they?
Yeah, some pretty quick improvement on the way, especially in terms of temperatures. We do have some precipitation coming in for the second half of the week as well, but temperatures finally getting back to where they should be this time of year. Cloudy this afternoon, still cool, high of 47. Winds out of the northwest, occasionally gusting as high as 30 miles an hour. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low of 31 degrees, and those gusty northwest winds continue. Partly sunny tomorrow, 57 degrees, so a nice warm-up and not nearly as windy. Northwest winds at 5 to 10. A couple of showers developing Thursday with a high of 65 degrees. Better chance of rain Friday with a high of 64. Rain chances continue into the weekend with highs in the mid to upper 60s for Saturday and Sunday. And for Monday, showers and a few rumbles of thunder, but the warming trend continues. High of 73 degrees. From the Weatherology Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller.
And the thing about the shower opportunities you're talking about, it looks like chances of showers. We're probably going to see showers from time to time, but during these days, it's not going to be completely wet for about 3 or 4 days, will it?
Yeah, not a complete washout. I do think by the time we get to Friday, we'll have fairly widespread rainfall across the region, fairly consistent, and then that continues kind of on an off-and-on basis into Saturday and Sunday.
Okay, Ray, well, thanks a lot for the information. We'll catch you again tomorrow.
I'll see you then. Take care.
And right now in Wausau continues to be an overcast and breezy day. It's a raw day out there, very windy. 45 degrees is the temperature. Winds out of the northwest at 22 miles per hour. Gusting as high as 35 miles per hour. The wind chill factor is 37. The dew point is 28. Relative humidity of 52%. The barometer at 28.68 inches and a visibility of 10 miles. Again, I'm Chad Holmes. Thank you for joining us. Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. I want to remind you again, I talked about this in the first hour. Earlier today, I got a message from a parent on the Wausau West girls softball team. And the program got some bad news as the JV coach, Claire Heindel, her and her husband Ben have a very young son, 18 months old, Emmett Heindel. And last week, he was diagnosed with acute lymphocytic leukemia. And obviously, just a very, very difficult situation. And coming up in 2 weeks, 2 weeks from today on the 16th of May, Wausau West softball will take on Wisconsin Rapids. I'll be over there broadcasting the game. But also, please come on out because it's going to be a fundraiser. Fully promoted as creating T-shirts to be purchased at Wausau West on May 16th for $20 to help support the Heindel family through this long journey. If interested in helping support this cause, please come over to Wausau West 2 weeks from today on May the 16th. Purchase a shirt and watch the JV and varsity teams take on Wisconsin Rapids in the final game of the regular season. Game will start at 4:30, weather permitting. And all proceeds from these shirts will go to the Heindel family. So again, we ask the community to have Emmett and the Heindel family and their thoughts and prayers throughout this journey. And as we get closer, I just got that information today. We'll get more information out there as well. And a quick note that when I'm done here, I will be heading to Wausau West. I brought the winter jacket today. We'll have Wausau West baseball against Stevens Point later today. 4:50 for the pregame, live online, bowfallsradio.com and Sports Stream 2. And the game will air on delay at approximately 7:30 here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Well, I see she has arrived. As we'll talk to Dr. Jillian Bettino coming up. We'll have her. We have to take a quick timeout, and then we'll talk to Dr. Bettino coming up in just a few moments. Again, I'm Chad Holmes. And real quick as well, I want to remind you, if you have not downloaded the Civic Media app yet, please do so. You can get Bow Falls Radio, get all the other stations on the Civic Media Radio Network, plus podcasts, including my show, other shows on Civic Media, including the shows that you don't hear here on Bow Falls Radio, but are heard elsewhere around the state as well, and a podcast as well of our local high school sports coverage. So much still to to delve into with Civic Media. So get that Civic Media app. Dr. Jillian Bettino coming up next here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Welcome back. Chad Holmes with you here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. And Jillian, again, you know how to adjust the sound, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Jillian Bettino here in studio. Very happy to have her back. And I guess I'm going to start off because I spent pretty much the entire hour, the first hour of the program, talking about this issue involving the district, Wausau East, student families, the Asian American community, basically everybody. And it's disturbing. And I've said that. I mean, it's so disturbing on a lot of levels. Mm-hmm. But I want to ask you, number one, anything you want to share? Number two, about leadership. Because I think when you decide to run for office, and you ran for the Wausau School Board, we'll get into that coming up, leaders are forced to make decisions and forced to try to take the information they have and make the right decisions. From what you know, are the right policy, are the right, I guess, steps being taken here? Because I just feel like, boy, based on what we read in the Wausau Daily Herald today, there's something that's not quite connecting here for me. And I just was thinking, what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was so disappointed and disturbed to learn about the situation with the band teacher over at Wausau East, and so sad, I think, for the family and the child and the experience, the outcome, and the general experience of our Asian American community here in Wausau. And to me, this was a missed opportunity. I think that in so many ways, I think that the band teacher clearly has a lot of respect from a lot of students. Mm-hmm. And he was clearly out of line. Disrespectful, thoughtless. And, you know, I believe that things that he said were just downright racist and inappropriate. And so, you know, when somebody who is in a position of respect and power like that is acting like that, and the outcome is as it was through the school board, it essentially condones that behavior going forward. And it was disappointing because I've heard so many great things about this teacher. Mm-hmm. That, you know, I think about myself and how I would like to handle something if I were to fail in such a big way as I believe he did, in the service of you know, and for example, I'm a physician. You know, if I had a patient complaint that I said something inappropriate or did something inappropriate, My process would be to learn about what I did and find out how I can do better, because I'm here to serve my patients and he's here to serve our students. Mm-hmm. So I believe that this was an opportunity for that teacher to say, I was in the wrong. How can I be better? How can we be better as a community? How can I set a better example for students? And I think in particular, to not forget that, you know, 90% of the time you can, in our community today as it stands, you can forget about being, you know, sensitive and politically correct and be okay. In other words, not offend anybody. Mm-hmm. It's the 10% that matters. It's the 10% that defines who we are. And I think for as a community, it's not how we treat everybody, you know, in the easy peasy conversation of the day. Mm-hmm. It's how we handle those challenging moments. And I think the school district failed, and I think the teacher failed. They failed that student, they failed that family, and they failed our Asian American community. I was very, very disappointed.
Just generally, again, I think, you know, one of the things we talked about when you were, you know, a candidate was the transparency within the issue of the consolidation. It feels like here there's still that problem of transparency where you have a story here and they've said they reached out to the district. They're standing on their statement, reached out to the person that was the investigator, the Dr. Hiltz. Nobody's willing to come out and say, hey, there are people that are upset about this. That, I mean, if you believe that you're doing the right thing, talking a little bit about it shouldn't be that difficult. Is this, again, where there's a problem of transparency within the district?
Yeah, I think that's true. I think that, you know, there's a little bit of a big daddy kind of approach to this. You know, they believe that, you know, Dr. Hiltz knows what's right and he's going to move forward. The decision has been made and he's done with it and he's not going to talk about it anymore. And I think the school board is doing that with the referendum as well. We have made the decision. This is what's best for the community. We're done listening. We are moving forward. And, you know, that's just wrought with you always have to be in the conversation. You always have to be engaging and mm-hmm. learning and having the support and building the support and trust of the community. And you know, this is going to backfire at some point. You just cannot, you can't turn your back on people's concerns. They're valid concerns and they will pay the price for it one way or the other.
Again, we're talking to Dr. Jillian Bettino, former candidate for the Wausau School Board, former candidate for Wisconsin State's treasurer here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Let's talk about the campaign. The post-mortem, I guess. That campaign was interesting in a sense because so many campaigns, you kind of have a sense of where it's going to finish up. I didn't have a sense. I thought with the energy of the petition drive and I think the energy of both you and Fred had that I was expecting something else. What was your feeling in the run-up in terms of people you talked to in the run-up to the election? Because there's a lot of unknown. You don't have the same kind of, I guess, polling that a lot of like statewide candidates, and you have a sense of what's going to happen on election day. Were the results a big surprise for you?
You know, after my treasurer experience, I have to say nothing is a big surprise for me. I mean, I was like 34 points ahead in the polls and I didn't make it through the primary. So, I definitely came into it with a, you know, wait and see kind of, place in my head. I think that I ran a really good campaign and was, you know, honest and true, and those are important to me more than anything else. So I was really hoping that we would prevail and have an opportunity to bring a little bit more community representation. And it's funny when I say that, you know, as a white woman, it doesn't feel very powerful to suggest that I could bring more representation. You know, this is a white board and a relatively wealthy board, and I wouldn't change that demographic. But my personal interest in my family, and I think I could have brought something more to it. So surprised, no. Disappointed, certainly. But I think that if you look at the same issues that we've been struggling with, slate running and campaign finances, that there's still a problem that's unaddressed.
I wanted to ask you about the slate aspect, because you and Fred did run as a slate.
No, we didn't.
Oh, you didn't. Okay. But you're up there on the same billboards. I think there was a sense there was a slate.
So I think it's important to differentiate between a slate and between, you know, collaboration.
Okay.
So slate running is reserved for the president and the vice president and the governor and the lieutenant governor.
Okay.
Those are the only legal slates. When you say the word slate, in terms of campaign finance law, you are indicating shared finances. So that is why I don't like to use that word. Mm. I prefer collaboration.
Okay.
Fred and I have similar philosophies. We don't agree on everything, but we certainly have similar philosophies and very much, you know, concerned with community representation and involvement and, you know, some of the more progressive approaches to education and public education specifically. So I wouldn't say slate, I would say collaborative.
That's very fair. And that brings up, I guess, the next point is you continue to be, I think, and I think it's important when you see something that doesn't pass the test, the smell test, mm-hmm. to actually take those next steps. And I know that you had the issue with the previous election, which I think we'll discuss, but you feel the same way about this election? Is that fair to say?
So I will go all the way back to 3 elections.
Right.
So the election that would have been, let's see, 23, 22, 21.
Right.
That was also a slate run, shared campaign finances, illegal type of approach. But the difference between that and the last election was an opinion that was published by the Wisconsin Ethics Commission mm-hmm. on January 5th, 2022. And that opinion clarified that shared campaign finances was illegal. So even though it was illegal before that, it was much more clear and I think actionable mm-hmm. after that. So I did file a campaign, complaint against the 3 candidates from 2022 and another one from 2023 for Corey Sillars and Jennifer Paoli. And they're similar, but they're also very different.
What was different this time around? Because we did touch on it the previous thing. I want to continue to find out where we stand, because I know that was in the mix. But what was different this time around that still you found to be maybe worth pursuing?
So I think it's actually, if it's okay, I think it's helpful to understand what was wrong the 2022 year, because it clarifies what's wrong with 2023.
We got 90 seconds. If you want to wait till after the break, we can do that. But
okay.
Because I don't want to cut you off in the middle of it.
Yeah. Let's wait until after the break.
But you just start talking like that, I think it's going to be a little bit more complicated.
It's complicated.
And we don't want to have it start.
Yeah,
and
no,
then. We're going to take a news break. We're going to come back, talk some more with Dr. Jillian Bettino. We're going to delve into, again, some of the issues she's going to keep an eye on now, because obviously you don't get involved in an election for a school board unless there's issues you want to keep an eye on. And obviously here in Wausau, there are still issues that we're going to keep an eye on. And I also want to ask her about the way that we are running these elections, especially for the school board, because they have changed in the last couple of years, and I don't think it's been for the better, and I don't think it helps in terms of the governing as well, because it leads to some deep fissures within a community, I think, that we have to keep an eye on. So we're going to talk more with Dr. Jillian Bettino coming up. Again, we have a news update, we'll have a CBS news update, and then a civic media news update as well coming up. I'm Chad Holmes. Here on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO.
Sometimes you're better off dead. There's a gun in your hand that's pointing at your head. You think you're mad, too unstable, kicking in chairs and knocking down tables in a restaurant in a West End town. Call the police, there's a madman around, running down underground to a dive bar in a West End town.
In a West End town, a dead end world. The East End boys and West End.
When I was young, it seemed that life was so wild.
again, Chad Holmes with you here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa. By searching WXCO, we are talking to Dr. Jillian Bettino. I'm guessing at this point you're tired of the former in front of your candidacy. But it shows, again, I said this last hour. I mean, anybody that gets involved deserves so much respect because it's not easy. I mean, you've been in races where you knew it wasn't going to be easy. But appreciate your efforts and being here again. Before the break, we were talking again about, and I think it's really an important issue because we're not going to see less of it. We're going to see more of it unless people like yourself say, hey, this is not quite kosher in a sense. You were talking about, you know, 2022 and now 2023, maybe the differences and what were you going to go into here in terms of the complaints about financing and slate electors here for the school board?
Yeah. So I'm going to try really hard not to bore everybody.
I was a political science student, so I'll be ready to take notes here.
Okay. So the whole thing with slates is that only the president and vice president and governor and lieutenant governor can run as a slate in the accepted meaning of the word. Mm-hmm. So in its correct vernacular here in our campaign finance law in the state of Wisconsin, that means sharing campaign finances. So for example, Toni Evers and Sarah Rodriguez ran after she won her primary for the general election. They ran as a slate. They went everywhere together. Their money was pooled, spent together. Mm-hmm. That's legal. It's not legal to do that outside of those two races, and it has been done that way. For the 2021 election with Vandenberg and whoever else was in there, and for the 2022 election. And so basically the deal is that you can only, as an individual or as a campaign committee, you can only donate $1,000 to another campaign.
Yeah.
And a party, by the way, and this becomes important, can donate whatever they want. There's no limit. So if I am Jillian Bettino for Wausau Kids, I can donate $1,000 to somebody or an in-kind donation, but there's still a limit, $1,000. Mm-hmm. What they were doing is splitting their costs. So they spent $15,000. The three candidates in 2022 each paid about $5,000. And this is just approximate numbers.
Sure.
And so they exceeded the limit by $4,000 mm-hmm. each. And they also didn't report it. So you have to report the in-kind donation. So if we buy yard signs, all three of our names are on it, we all spend $15,000, and I have to report, not only did I spend $5,000, but I also received $5,000 from two other campaigns. So that's all kinds of violations. You're exceeding the donation.
$4,000 more than the limit, right?
Right, yeah. $4,000 more from two different campaigns, and you're donating $4,000. I mean, it's just all kinds of wrong in there. So I reported that in hopes that that would then set a more level playing field for the election that I was a part of.
Sure.
And for future elections, not just about me. And to be honest with you, I don't believe that I am the best candidate for the Wausau School District. I would like to see more diversity in this. I would like to see, not at-large elections. I think that would address some of these issues. So maybe it's not me that runs. I'm fine with that. Mm-hmm. I want it to be fair. I want it to actually reflect our community and the voting that happens. As we all know, or as many of us may know, name recognition is a huge part of it. And so we do look at the actual number of dollars that are spent per vote in getting your name out there. We come at it from all different kinds of ways. So this time, I was a little surprised, I'll admit, with the outcome, but not totally surprised, and more just disappointed, I think.
You're so a jaded veteran by now, aren't you?
I am. I always sleep well after that because I'm like, okay, that's, I can take a breath now. But it took me a couple of weeks to say, hey, you know what? I got to look at those campaign finance reports at Corey Sillers and Jen Paley's campaign finance reports. And it took about 3 minutes, jaw-dropping, for me to go, oh, my goodness. So what they did is both Corey and Jen raised $5,000 or $6,000, And then they donated it to the Republican Party. And then the Republican Party, who has no campaign finance limits, donated it back to them as in-kind donations, and they pooled it. So they essentially circumvented the campaign finance contribution limits.
That's the old end run.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, I thought to myself, well, this can't be legal, right? This can't be legal. This is so obvious. And so I picked up the phone again and talked to this wonderful guy, Richard, at the Ethics Commission, who's extremely knowledgeable. And, you know, on first impression and first discussion, he said, well, no, there's no limit for the party. So they can spend whatever they want. Mm-hmm. I said, well, that seems ridiculous because I can just say, well, I'm going to give you $5,000 and you know, this other person's going to give you $5,000 and we can spend $10,000 together and essentially just avoid this whole responsibility.
It sounds like money laundering.
It does. Exactly. That's what I was calling it, actually. And certainly sounds like some form of fraud or, you know, something. Definitely a mm-hmm. misrepresentation. He called me back and he said, wait a minute, there's one thing. You cannot earmark a donation. So those donations from Paoli and Stiller's campaigns were made on the 13th or 14th of March, and the Republican Party donated it back the next day. So clearly it is earmarking. So I did fill out another campaign finance report, and I complained about two things. I complained about earmarking their contributions, and I also complained that they were intentionally circumventing the contribution limits. And I reported also the Marathon County Republican Party.
Well, I said it to you off air, Marathon County Republican Party Chairman Kevin Hermanine says you're just being a poor loser.
Yeah, and you know, of course. I mean, of course he's going to say that. And there is some validity into the fact that had we won the race, I probably would have never looked at their campaign finance reports. And, you know, I've thought about that. I don't care what he says. I really don't. I'm at this age in my life. I just don't care. What I care about is fair representation. I care about democracy. I care about the fact that we have a large, wonderful, thriving Hmong community that's not represented on our board. Mm-hmm. I care about the fact that we have a referendum happening that is damaging our community and nobody's pushing back on it. And I think that all of this is tied together.
Let's look forward, because I think you kind of opened the door there. Now that the election is over, what are you looking at? What are the issues? What can you do? What can the people that have shown energy do? What do you want to see? I mean, because I like sometimes to be a head in the cloud, say, hey, you know, I can look at things maybe much less than I did used to, because I think we've all gone through a lot. Mm-hmm. But what can even this board do that would say, okay, I may not agree with everything, but boy, this board, they can do something here in the right direction on an important issue. What are you looking at right now?
So if I could ask this board to do some things that I thought would bring a healthier representation of our students and families.
And bring the community together. Right. Boy, we need that, don't we?
I would do a couple of things. So first of all, I would work harder to get the support in the connection and communication lines of the teachers. Mm-hmm. So the winners were not supported by the Teachers Association for a reason, because they didn't even show up to try to engage with teachers, find out what teachers care about, what's important to teachers. I would support teachers in the classroom and outside of the classroom better and listen to teachers. I would also bring students as regular non-voting members to the school board. Mm. I think that that type of representation would bring a level of trust back to, and perhaps families as well, as, you know, not just visiting and giving some automated report, but actually saying, if I were to vote, this is how I would vote, and this is why. Mm-hmm. And I would let those students be selected by their peers. So that students were allowed to select their own representation at the level of the board, and that those people were heard. Mm. And then I think that the community at large should know when the board is actually, you know, actually aligning with students and teachers, because nobody knows like students and teachers what students and teachers need.
And the thing about that idea that kind of popped into my head, it would get maybe more eyeballs, more engagement from people. Even if it's just a few students say, hey, my friend is part of it, I'm going to watch it. It may learn something, or family members may watch it when they otherwise wouldn't. Because I think a major issue with, especially local government, is unless it's an issue that gets a lot of notice, whether through the media or through because of it really does touch you in an individual way, they don't watch it that much. I take a look all the time at like views on YouTube, and it's not very high. And I think anything that would get more engagement would be a positive, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think it would be really cool to, you know, there was a question in our, I think it was the pilot and review that asked a question about, you know, what you could do to improve our education. And I was saying that, and the question was specifically regarding literacy. And most of the people who responded took literacy to specifically mean reading literacy, but I took it to also mean civic literacy and financial literacy and, you know, all types of literacy. Part of our education could be that students attend, you know, a couple of board meetings sometime in their high school career, that they make a presentation to the board, that they actually have some sort of engagement with the people who are representing and controlling their experience.
I have to admit, I've been very fearful about literacy generally, and I think you defined it perfectly, because back when, I say, we were going to school and we'd have to go to the stacks and go to the microfiche to do all the research, somehow it feels like when it's right on your fingertips and you don't have to dig for information, have to really learn information, I worry that too many of us are just kind of letting things go because we don't understand it the same way, or we haven't learned it the same way. There's so many, I think, important questions about the way that we teach our kids that are not being answered. And it's scary in a sense that we're letting, I think, a few, they like to say on the right, the elites. I use the term elites where, in terms of elites that make all the decisions, where because we're not giving the tools properly. Am I wrong in that?
Well, no, I don't think so. I think, you know, obviously, information is delivered in different ways these days, and I
don't want to be one of those back in my day.
Right. You know, I mean, back in my day, we had a stack of encyclopedias, and my parents refused to tell me how to spell anything. There was no autocorrect, and I certainly needed to know the definitions by going to this very large dictionary in our home or in our school library to look things up. And it was engaging in a different way. But at the same time, there's such a large body of information available. The problem that is happening today is clearly about false information and misinformation and anecdotal experiences as opposed to data-based experiences and, you know, real valid scientific method. And also a general, sadly, and scary, you know, I mean, if you look at, again, who won this race, neither of the other candidates who won have experienced any experience in education other than being parents, whereas both Fred and I were educators. So, you know, there's some kind of a problem with a resentment towards people who are educated. I think that's unfortunate.
Yeah, take a real quick break and come back for a few more minutes with Jillian Bettino. Coming up.
Fight to make ends meet, keeps a man up on his feet, holding down his job, trying to show he can't be bought, who takes every chance.
Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa. A few more minutes with Dr. Jillian Bettino. I mentioned the fact that you've been through this and that you obviously got a lot of passion. I want to talk about democracy. What are you finding out in these races, these elections, whether at the state level or the local level, that people need to know about our democracy? What's working, what's not working? Because I'm always very curious about that, because we're seeing elections run differently now, it feels. There's so much pressure being put on. And you talked about false information. I think there's a lot of false information that's being put out there. What have you found out that we need to know about our democracy right now?
Well, I think the biggest problem is apathy and really taking democracy for granted, taking our rights as Americans for granted. I think that's going to change for all the scary reasons. But
the problem is when it gets to be laws passed that take away the rights, mm-hmm. then what do you do?
Mm-hmm.
And it gets harder and harder to change them, because mm-hmm. most of the time those laws, you can't change them, because that's the whole point of the fascism.
Right. I do see a really exciting opportunity right in front of us. And I think there was a big sigh of relief with the election of Judge Janet.
Yeah.
Because we have an opportunity here to save some very basic human rights, so the right of a woman to make her own healthcare decision, a right that was born shortly after I was.
Unbelievable, huh?
Yeah.
Same here.
Grew up and took it for granted. And now, obviously, we need to be very thoughtful about women's health care and about our safety. So I think that is coming back. I think that Judge Janet will help with that. And along with that, gerrymandering. And, you know, again, I mentioned a little earlier the whole idea of civic responsibility and education and civic literacy.
Mm-hmm.
So I would really love to see improved educational efforts to get kids voting. So, you know, as soon as my kids have gotten to be old enough, they've voted. And I remember, you know, the first time I was old enough to vote, mm-hmm. I voted. But then I went to medical school and residency and kind of was working 80 to 100 hours a week. And there was no support or protection. I remember the year that, Bush and, when was that? 1990.
Clinton? Bush and Clinton?
No.
Bush and Dukakis?
The contested.
Oh, 2000.
Yeah, thank
Bush
you.
Bush Gore.
Yeah, Bush Gore. So I was post-call and I was coming into the hospital. I was a resident and so embarrassed that I didn't know who won the election. And so I'm turning on the, you know, NPR on the way to work to figure out who won the election. You don't want to know you got to know who won the Major League Baseball games and who won the Super Bowl. I didn't know who won the election. So I'm listening, and all the way to work, I'm like, I don't get it. I don't understand you. And finally I got to work and I asked my best friend, I'm like, you know, hey, Angie, who won the election? And she's like, nobody knows who won the election. So, you know, I think that I got lost there along the way. But part of that is because my employer did not support me going to vote.
Right.
I think it should be a national holiday. I think that kids should automatically turn 18. You can't just go fight a war, but now you are signed up to vote, mm-hmm. and you will get a reminder to vote. I think we should do more by mail education about all candidates that is, you know, orchestrated at a level that, you know, is funded publicly and, mm-hmm. you know, to create more fairness and awareness and more responsibility. We need to protect the right to be an American and the right to freedom of speech and all of these wonderful things that we enjoy and that are truly, truly at risk right now.
It is really amazing how 2023, some of the issues that people were talking about in the 50s, like book burning, you remember?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if people that know and that's one reason I say it all the time, if you don't know history, it's going to come back. And I think that's one reason we're seeing a lot of this stuff come back, mm-hmm. is that there has been a war on history in recent years, hasn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I feel like my kids are you know, my kids range in age from 17 to 27.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like they have gotten a pretty good sense of things, but there is a definite, concerted, intentional effort to, I'm going to say, a terrible thing, whitewash history. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my husband's family is Jewish, and Bettino's died at Auschwitz. And I, you know, I have a multiracial, multireligious family, and I think that what's ahead of us is terrifying if we do not come to terms with what the efforts are.
And I've said on this program in the past, I follow on Twitter the Auschwitz Museum, and they put every day pictures and stories. And sometimes I think it shouldn't be this way, where you have to see a person, hear their story specifically to kind of completely understand it. But I don't know how anybody can look at the stories and say, well, we want to go in that direction. Mm-hmm. Because it really feels like there are people that want to go in that direction. And right. It's scary. It really
yeah,
is.
It is scary. It's scary. Yeah, I was watching an interview recently of Moms for Liberty. So Jen Paoli is one of these Moms for Liberty who's on our newly elected school board. And this not Jen Paoli, this is this other person who was elected who is a Mothers for Liberty, was talking about trying to restrict the ability of teachers to talk to kids about their feelings. They do not want their child taught compassion, specifically, she said, compassion or empathy. These are feelings that should be taught at home. You know, compassion and empathy are wrapped into history and are wrapped into the success of this country, you know, the success of immigrants and woven into the fabric of building this nation.
Human interaction.
Yeah.
Human interaction.
Yeah.
And teachers are so important because, you know, whatever, they're there for more than the A's and the B's. And I don't really want to open the can of worms. They want to give them guns, but they don't want to talk about feelings. I mean, there's something wrong.
Right.
We're out of time, unfortunately. Yeah. But Jillian, I hope we can get you back on, talk about these issues as they continue to pop on up. Again, appreciate your work in terms of running for office. I said in the first hour, whether I agree or disagree with everybody that runs for office, at least there's people, because democracy is too darn important. But thank you for coming in.
Yep, thanks for having me.
Jillian Bettino, again, joining us. And stick around. Coming up next, it will be the Devil's Advocates from 4 till 6. And again, join me as well at 4:50. I'll be heading over to Wausau West. I'll be bundled up for a baseball, Warriors and Stevens Point. 4:50 live on BullFallsRadio.com, Sports Stream 2. And then at 7:30 tonight here on Bull Falls Radio. Have yourselves a great rest of your Tuesday and join me again tomorrow. We'll have Sean Wright from the Grand Theater at 2:15 tomorrow here on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230 WXCO.